This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at tryzona.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In. On the Intelligent Medicine Podcast Network, I'm Layla Mutin, MSRD, or RDN, which stands for Registered Dietitian Nutritionist, CDN, Certified Dietitian, Certified Nutritionist. That's my certification in the state of New York. If you don't know me, if you're new to these podcasts, I am the nutritionist at the Hoffman Center. I am here since 2005. And I don't know where all the years went, but they flew by, and time flies when you're having fun. I thank you for your questions and your comments, and you could email me at radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. I have an email from Rick. Hi, Layla. Thanks for the informative emails from yourself and Dr. Hoffman. Rick is referring to our newsletter. We have a weekly newsletter, and it's free, like these podcasts. If you go to drhoffman.com, you can sign up. As a matter of fact, you'll have a pop-up first that will prompt you to sign up for our weekly newsletter. And if at any time you don't want to receive the newsletter anymore, scroll all the way down and click unsubscribe. It's as easy as that. In that newsletter, Dr. Hoffman and I are bringing you the latest information and news in health, medicine, wellness, nutrition. So, Rick writes, I've been reading about lectins and polyphenols recently as I try to optimize my diet. I'm a 62-year-old male. I get it that polyphenols are good and some lectins are not. Polyphenols are part of the antioxidant complex that we get in so many of our vegetables and fruits and teas like EGCG, green tea. I have a comprehensive list for high lectin foods and low lectin foods. Basically, from an author's website who wrote a book about the issue. Rick doesn't let me know who the author is, or the website. And oddly, he says, many of the foods on the avoid lectin, do not eat list are foods that I eat often, enjoy, and thought they were healthy. Foods like tuna, salmon, yogurt, eggs, almonds, walnuts, Brazil nuts, tomatoes, eggplants, strawberries, and the list of what not to eat goes on and on. I'm 62 years old, in pretty decent health, although I had a quadruple bypass a few years ago. Is this lectin issue a real concern for most people, or can I forget about it? Thank you and best regards, Rick. Rick, thank you for your email, and let me tell you, lectins have been studied by scientists for, I would think well over 100 years, and many scientists believe that lectins are a part of plant's protection mechanism. As a matter of fact, lectins, first, what are they? Lectins are proteins that bind to carbohydrates or glycoproteins, and they have the ability to bind to specific molecules. Lectins are components of mostly plants that allow cells to bind or communicate with each other. They're found in nearly every living organism. That includes bacteria, viruses, and most foods to one degree or another. but most of them are harmless. Here's the thing. Lectins are richly found in many fruits and vegetables. For example, cucumbers and tomatoes. And it's also, lectins are really ubiquitous in almost all plant foods. But unless they can bind to gut tissue or get into the bloodstream, they generally have few adverse effects. And because lectins have really been poorly studied in humans, particularly from in vivo studies, you know, in the human body studies or experiments, we really don't know their precise effects. But we mostly are relying to date on what has been found in the research from animal or tissue studies. So it's very hard, as you know, to extrapolate from animal or tissue. These are called in vitro studies. It's very hard to extrapolate to how this impacts humans. However, the good news is, all right, here's what really lectins are because they're so ubiquitous. You've heard of survival in the fittest, survival of the fittest. Nature wants all life to survive. That includes plant life. Lectins are in plants primarily, and they are a protection mechanism. Lectins surround the seeds of the plants so that the seeds are protected so that they may live and be able to eventually be fertilized and procreate. So when we're eating produce, tomatoes, cucumber, apples, anything, the lectins that are present in those foods are protecting the plant's reproductive ability. Think about this. We eat these foods, and then later in our feces, we may find that these lectins have protected. And there has been some research on this that it's been found in fecal matter. They surround the seeds so that when we poop, or as our Stone Age ancestors, when they pooped outside anywhere, those seeds, because they've been protected by the lectins, have now been transferred elsewhere and may grow, flourish, and survive, very much like bees pollinating plants, going from plant to plant, right? Kind of similar. So lectins are a protective mechanism in the plant world, but because they're a protective mechanism, they may do kind of fuzzy, unwanted things to our gut in their efforts to protect the seeds of the plants or the produce we've just eaten. Well, now, here's the thing. Lectins are found a lot in legumes and beans. However, most commercially available canned legumes, beans, have been pressure cooked. And pressure cooking dramatically brings down the lectin content. So lectins, after something's been pressure cooked or very, very well cooked, the lectin content is typically very low, if not absent. However, even canned legumes and beans contain other anti-nutrients that may have other health effects, saponins, protease inhibitors, and so forth and so on. But more about lectins here. So these are the protective mechanisms. Plants also use lectins to communicate with their environment and for cell organization. And in plants, the lectins are concentrated in seeds, early stage leaves, and roots. So typically, these lectins may cause sensitivity and inflammation in people who are susceptible. And because these lectins are primarily found in beans, legumes, as well as other products, and because typically on a paleo diet, Most of the highest lectin-containing foods have been removed. They can be very, very helpful. So, in the blood, lectins may stimulate, and here's a problem with lectins, lectins may stimulate immune system and modify hormone functions. Lectins damage the gut lining, causing leaky gut. Lectins bind to surface glycoproteins and gut lining cells, causing damage to the villi, increasing the uptake of intestinal contents. And some dietary sources of lectins, such as wheat, can directly break tight junctions in the cell walls. Now, legume lectins, prolamins, such as in gluten and gliadin, these are the highest lectin containers, if you will. And because lectins can cause leaky gut, it allows exposure, increased exposure of both dietary and bacterial antigens, inflammatory agents to the immune system. And these lectins also interfere with nutrient absorption. But you know what else? In plant foods, plants also contain a fiber. It's a type of fiber called phytic acid, P-H-Y-T-I-C acid, or phytates. These phytates also bind the minerals present in plant foods, inhibiting our absorption of them when we eat them. Let me give you a great example of this. Iron. The plant foods that contain iron, such as spinach, peas, lentils, they also contain phytates that bind those minerals like iron and even magnesium and calcium. And we're only absorbing maybe 10 or 20% because of the phytates. There's really no proven way to break down the phytates. So that's why with iron, we want heme sources of iron for those individuals who may be low in iron or anemic or have low ferritin. Back to lectins. Because lectins can cause a leaky gut, they can be problematic. But here's the other thing. Lectins, because they're so present mostly in legumes and beans, undercooking things like kidney beans can be toxic because of those lectins, among other things. So, most people, here's the problem for the immune system, most people develop antibodies against dietary lectins. And these antibodies don't necessarily protect you from harmful lectins. And whether this causes disease depends on individual susceptibility. Coming back to Rick's email, Rick had a quadruple bypass a few years ago. I'm not sure that dietary lectins were the main cause of the inflammation in his coronary arteries. I would wonder if Rick was overweight or had very high triglycerides, high blood sugar, insulin levels. These are promoters of inflammation. And dietary lectins may further exacerbate that inflammation, but I don't think it was the main show, so to speak. So, in mice, and this is why, you know, we have to be careful with rodent studies. It doesn't tell the whole story, because they're not humans. In mice, administration of lectins through the nose or by feeding stimulates an IgG and IgA production that's comparable to that of the cholera toxin. Wow. But, you know, again, it's in mice. It's very controlled how much lectin was given. So, lectins can potentiate the immune response to antigens that wouldn't be inflammatory by themselves. And again, with the mouse example, mice fed with wheat germ and egg white protein develop much stronger antibody responses to those proteins. And because because there's a reaction to one type of thing, this can then cause a little bit of a domino effect and cause more reaction to other foods. And especially if lectins are causing leaky gut, and we know the leaky gut is the precursor to most autoimmune conditions, that leaky gut is already going to cause inflammation. So another thing about lectins is they can induce mast cell reactions, suggesting that they can aggravate allergies and histamine intolerance. Hey, we're seeing more and more histamine intolerance, and we're doing more and more testing for histamine intolerance. I'm telling you, over the last couple of years is the most I've ever prescribed a low histamine diet to so many of our patients and clients because they have a high histamine. That high histamine may not be primary, it may be secondary to other things like a leaky gut or other abnormalities in immune response. So, as lectins can act as an immune system and leaky gut trigger, lectins can cause autoimmunity in susceptible people, according to Dr. Fasano's autoimmune triad. Dr. Alessio Fasano is a leader in scientific research about leaky gut and about gluten. Gluten and celiac disease and triggers. And Dr. Fasano asserts that a trigger, a leaky gut, and genetic susceptibility are the precursors. Lectin triggers autoimmunity by binding to glycoproteins, glycolipids. These are sugar molecules attached to proteins and fats. And lectins affect the gut microbiota. The presence of lectins affects the composition of the gut bacteria and may cause dysbiosis, predisposing to these conditions. So, avoiding lectins, lectin avoidance can cure autoimmune disease. A study of 800 autoimmune patients evaluated a diet that avoided grains, sprouted grains, pseudo grains, beans and legumes, soy, peanuts, cashews, nightshades, melons and squashes, and non-Southern European cow milk products and grain bean-fed animals. This is where most of the lectins are, but primarily in grains, pseudo grains, beans and legumes, soy, peanut, and some nightshade. Most of these patients started with elevated TNF-alpha, that's tumor necrosis factor alpha, which is an inflammatory marker, that reduced to normal after 6 months on a low lectin diet. Very, very interesting stuff. So, Rick, are lectins, coming back to your questions, are they a real concern for most people? Or can we forget about it? It depends on your susceptibility. It depends on your biochemical individuality. It depends on any medical conditions. Now, I talk a lot about autoimmunity on this program. Anyone with an autoimmune condition would only benefit from being on a paleo-type diet, which already avoids all those lectin-containing foods, such as grains, pseudo-grains, beans, legumes, all of that. They would only stand to benefit. And from nightshades, the tomatoes, eggplant, white potato, peppers of all sorts, tobacco. However, you could take that potato and pressure cook it. It's still a nightshade, and if you have arthritis, it's still going to bother you. But if you pressure cook that potato, it's going to reduce the amount of lectin. So lectin has its own mechanism, as I've explained, in causing inflammation. That plant protection mechanism. I mean, this is the deal with our entire ecosystem. Nature wants us to survive. That includes, obviously, the plant kingdom, and has developed ways for them to continue reproducing, even as we eat those plants and poop them out, those lectins are providing protection for those seeds then being deposited so that they can grow and flourish again. So, Rick, I want to thank you for your question. Thank you to everybody who's enjoying the Intelligent Medicine podcasts. And for those of you who have a question or any other topics that might interest you or a comment about our programs, please email to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.